Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Spamalot at the Farmington Civic Center, June 8th through the 18th. Find tickets at fmtn.org/shows.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home, San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the last day of May, 2023. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are joining us this morning, because as you know, this is a community-supported visual radio station. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are all with us this morning. Coming up in the next few moments, it's our update from Farmington Schools. We will get an update on the end of the school year, of course, all the graduations and all the seniors and others that are heading out after their high school careers. That is coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE, so we hope you will stay tuned for that. Then, of course, stay tuned for a best-of episode from Ron Price, all about life in the sandbox. You will hear that today on the radio at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Mick Hess is going to take over the studio at 9:06 for Roving with the Arts. He is featuring music from the great Beethoven and more. Join him for that next hour here on KSJE on the radio. And then at 10:30, that'll take us to Right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program with Del Cherie Gladden. And today, Del Cherie is speaking with author Daniel Rose about his memoir called Truth or Consequences. You'll hear that conversation today at 10:30, right on Four Corners on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Twitter account in addition to Facebook and YouTube and our Instagram account as well. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is mostly cloudy so far. Clouds have been moving in this morning. Temperature 60 degrees. We're expecting a partly cloudy day today with a high of 79 in Farmington. Maybe a 20% chance of a scattered shower developing today. 49 with partly cloudy skies tonight. Partly cloudy again tomorrow and cooler with a high of 72 on Thursday. Another chance of a scattered shower. More chances for rain, though, on Friday. Take a look. We're expecting maybe a 40% chance of showers with a high of 69 on Friday, 74 with a chance of rain on Saturday, 80 with a 40% chance of rain on Sunday, and more chances for rain again on into Tuesday. We will get started with our interview with Farmington Schools right after this. Joining me here in the studio, my guest from Farmington Municipal School, Superintendent Cody Deal, is back in the studio with me. Mr. Deal, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Good to have you here. Also joining us here in the studio this morning is Hope Trujillo. She is the mental health coordinator with Farmington Schools. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Stacey Chang is here. She's the director of nursing and student wellness for Farmington School. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. We appreciate that. Mr. Deal, let me start with you a little bit about some of the things have been going on at Farmington Schools recently. You had some career days at some of your schools, I know, which is always important for your students to hear about careers and hear from folks who are in those careers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know we've talked a little bit about it before. We talk about career pathways and setting our kids up and to learn more about their future and what they want to do. So yeah, we've had some of our elementary schools starting and have some career days and having people come in and talk, you know, our mayor, our chief of police, and then of course different professions come in, and starting that process of having kids think about what it is that they want to do with their future. And so exposing them to different careers and things that happen in our community where they see things going on is a great thing. And we had a couple, and it happens at a lot of our schools, but highlighting a couple at McKinley Elementary and Esperanza Elementary, they've taken it to another level. And then I've talked also about Milo McMinn, our career in college, technical education assistant director, and the efforts that he's going to put forward, and so getting it down deeper, and it's not just for high school kids, that we're going to start focusing on elementary and middle school as well. So good events to wrap up the year.
Very good. And it really gets the kids involved, I would say, too, right? When you have folks coming in talking about their different careers and start them thinking maybe about what they want to do when they finish school.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because this has been going on forever, right? And you know, we always, when we're growing up, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, a policeman, a fireman, a lawyer, a doctor. So having these folks from our community come in and talk about our community and what they do is certainly a positive relationship with our students.
Right.
Get some thinking.
Right. Very true. You also had a moving on ceremony at Hermosa Middle School, right?
We did. We had last Monday, did Hermosa, and we also did Tibbetts last Tuesday as well. So a couple of our middle schools have done this moving on ceremony, and it's a neat event where they invite the high school principals in and you know, recognize students and let them know that maybe we're closing one door of their academic career, but another one is opening. And our principals come and shake their hands and let them know. Rocky Torres was at the Hermosa Middle School event and, you know, welcomed them and started to build that relationship with those students. And then at the Tibbetts ceremony, they actually identify, it's really neat, they identify where the kids are going to school, and they actually handed my graduation announcement in 4 years. So just getting them ready and, you know, to make that transition. So a couple of neat ceremonies.
Right, right. Very good. You all survived graduation week, I think, with Farmington Schools. They come pretty fast and furious, don't they?
They do. Four beautiful events that we had last week. A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Time flies.
I mean,
a couple weeks ago, actually,
right.
Starting with San Juan College High School, where they graduated 68 students on the 12th. And then Farmington High with the biggest class, 373. Rosanante, 63 students. And Piedra Vista High School, 330. So 834 of our students, as you see in the slide there, graced the graduation stage and are moving on. And we hope that we prepared them to do so. And want to let them know that our doors are always open, and however we can support them in their next endeavor, we're here for them.
Very good.
Yeah, they were really neat events, and to celebrate a lot of hard work and time and commitment to those 834 students. And you know what the great thing about it is, Scott, is that I was talking to Mr. Torres a couple days following, and we had a student who didn't quite make it on that day, but made it a few days later. So we're still graduating students, so the number's growing.
Nice. Very good. Well, and that's an important message, I guess, for your students and maybe parents to know, too, is if they're not quite ready in May, the district will work with them and their families to get them ready, to get them to walk across that stage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have early graduates. We have graduates who graduate in 4 years, and we have students who graduate whenever they can, whether it's at Christmas time or it takes another year. Ultimately, when it's all said and done, we want to support them and get them across that stage.
All right. Very, very good. Some of the other updates that you were here to share with us this morning, Project Search graduation too.
Yeah, it was a neat event. We collaborate with other districts, and we have students who get out into the community and do some work-based learning stuff. And so we had seven students actually graduate through the Project Search program, a really neat event. Our 21st Century After School programs, which have now ended, obviously, but that transitions into summer programs. So
right.
We have over 400 students who registered for our summer brain camp, elementary students. And so that happens at one of our elementary schools, and it's so fun to watch. They do some amazing activities along with some academic stuff, but whether it's cooking or dancing. So a lot of cool activities that they rotate throughout the day, and it's a good partnership that we have with the Boys and Girls Club. We also have our summer C camp, for our middle school kids, which is hosted at the Boys and Girls Club of Farmington. So that partnership, we're thankful for that. Kicked off our summer meals at our FMS location. So providing meals this summer as well. More information on our website where those locations are.
Okay.
Our technology expo, which was really cool, and that was done all online. And so, and then of course, you know, we have the event that happened a couple weeks ago here in Farmington that obviously is on everybody's mind. So we dealt with that at the end of the school year, and I want to thank our partnerships with Farmington PD, Farmington Fire Department, other local first responders in their support and help with that. And so, yeah, we ended the year on a strong note, and looking forward to the summer and planning for next school year.
Very good. Maybe just a minute to talk a bit about lockdowns and things like that at school, because this incident notwithstanding, certainly there have been other occasions when you've had to put a school into lockdown, maybe because of activity that's even not on school property, but nearby. And I guess that's something maybe parents need to be just aware of, and the policies about why you would do that.
Sure. And typically what happens is something more often than not, it's something that's happening in the school community or around the school where we go into a preventative lockdown or emergency lockdown. So a preventative lockdown is where the threat is outside of the school, and so we lock the school down to keep the threat from coming in. And then an emergency lockdown is when the threat is actually inside of the school. So two different types of lockdowns. But yeah, even after our incident on May 17th, we had, I think the very next day, we had an incident down by one of our elementary schools where they were, police were looking for an individual. And so we go into preventative lockdown so everybody knows that, you know, there's something happening in the area.
Right. And for parents, I mean, they get a separate notification, do they not, usually when that happens, if they're signed up for that right. service, I guess?
Yeah. And that's the hard part about these events is that it happens so fast and information is spread so quickly throughout social media that we do the best we can with the information that we have, and we try to update as soon as possible. So whether it be via email, our text messaging, robocalls. So we get a lot of phone calls, and we get a lot of upset folks who we're not maybe answering the phone, but what they need to realize is that we're trying to protect our students, and we get the information out as fast as we possibly can.
Right. But those are the methods that you use, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously following the official Farmington Schools social media pages would be the way to get the official information, or those texts or emails or robocalls or what have you. But to see someone's cousin's grandmother's milkman posting something may not be accurate information.
That's right. And we know that's the nature of the times that we're in, right? We get a lot of people posting on their social media pages on speculation of what's happening. So yes, I would encourage folks to keep calling, right? Call us directly and report information, or call the police. Don't rely on typical social media pages, but yes, ours. And then we also like to correlate with the Farmington Police Department or whatever agencies sending out their press releases as well.
Right. I just want to point out, if you want to know how old your radio host is, if he uses the term milkman in a question, he's really, really old. Really old. Man, but you knew what I was talking about.
I do.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you very much for that.
I don't know how old you are.
Well, I'm old.
But I remember having milk delivered to my house.
All right. Well, I appreciate the solidarity. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Deal, very much. Let me move on, though, to talk about mental health at mm-hmm. schools and the work that the district is doing for all students, no matter what time of year. And that brings us, our other two guests are here with us this morning, Hope Trujillo and Stacy Chang. So again, thank you both for coming in and talking with me about this really important issue, because we know students are going through a lot. No matter how old they are, there's a lot maybe going on when they're not at school, from home, and things along that line. So I guess that's where I'd like to start by talking a bit about how you are both able to work with these students who maybe present with very different issues compared to their colleagues in school. I don't know which one of you'd like to start with that question. Stacy?
Sure, I can go ahead and start.
Okay, thank you.
So part of our district initiative, and it's a priority in all schools, is our high reliability school strategic plan. And that is to provide a safe, supportive, collaborative environment for all of our students. So really what that means for us is that we have many people positioned in the schools to help our students. So we have social workers, counselors, and nurses in every single school that are available to support our students and any needs that they might have, whether they're physical or mental health. For our educators, we provide a second step curriculum and something called zones of regulation that is an enhancement to that curriculum, but that's a requirement at all levels. So that's a way that we empower our teachers to help support, recognize, and then if the need is beyond what they can provide in the classroom, that child can be referred out for services. We have a district behavior coordinator that also can help in the classroom with some de-escalation and some recognition if we need to move our students on again for that higher level of support. We've certainly recognized a need for increased mental health support, especially coming back from COVID and kids adapting to environments and being back together. Adults adapting as well. So we do provide mental health services for our teachers as well through our U Lions program. So I really feel like we try to do a good job to be preventative and proactive. There's a lot of trainings that we do with the students. We do an SOS training at the beginning of the year, which is Signs of Suicide. Hope and her amazing social workers coordinate that. It's focused on 6th and 9th graders with touch-ups, 7th, 8th, 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th. So we can help identify those kids if they have a need. And so I really feel so lucky that the district has supported having a social worker in every school along with the counselors. It's been a huge asset in helping us try to identify and help kids earlier.
Right, right. Very good. Hope Trujillo, let me turn to you about that program that Stacey Chang was mentioning. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The SOS program, so yes. That stands for Signs of Suicide, and what it's great is it empowers our students to know how they can recognize, to learn how they can recognize perhaps warning signs not only in themselves but in their friends, their own family. And what we are trying to instill in them is just this an acronym, kind of a basic idea of ACT, and basically A stands for acknowledging, letting them know that, hey, if you're concerned about someone, hey, I noticed some things going on, you know, are you okay? The C stands for care, and that just coming to someone saying, hey, are you okay, is a sign of caring. And then T, helping them understand, let's get them to a trusted adult so that they can get them the support. And that's the message we're instilling through for our students and also our staff members as well.
Right, right. And as Stacey Chang was mentioning, coming out of COVID, certainly that was a lot of stuff to dump on kids and adults and everybody really for an extended period of time. And I don't think it's beyond the pale to say that folks may still be suffering from some of the effects of lockdowns and just not being able to do what we want to do, or even still the threat of getting sick or what have you. Is that still stuff that that you got folks are dealing with as well?
Absolutely. Our mental health providers continue to have students that are struggling not only with just their own maybe anxiety or worry about coming back to school, but also a lot of grief. A lot of our students lost a lot of family members, and I appreciate that our district really supports and truly honors mental health and has our providers in all of our schools. And this is vital work, and we couldn't do it alone. We are grateful that we have each other within our district, but also the community at large. When there are incidents that occur out in the community, crisis, tragedies, we can also rely on our community members, such as Aztec Schools, Bloomfield Schools. They are always there to offer support to us, our, you know, community like Department, Office of Emergency Management, DOH.
Right. A lot of cooperation, it seems, between all the districts and other entities in the county. Is that what you find?
Absolutely. And again, it's vital to help us. This is difficult work and we can't do this alone.
Right. I would think that not every district has these resources available for their students and staff. This is something that's somewhat unique to to Farmington schools. Mr. Deal, is that something that, from a money standpoint, I guess, right? You need resources to be able to have folks like Hope and Stacy on staff, don't you, obviously?
Yeah, and I think our area in this county, they've all done a good job of identifying these resources and providing them to their school communities. The other thing is that we have a great partnership with our area districts, and we support one another. So in times of crisis and in times of need, we may call upon other districts to support us, or they call on us to support them. So if they don't have the resources, we share. We play well together in the sandbox, so with our other school districts. So we see that all the time in the collaborative partnership. I know that maybe a month ago we had a training in Farmington schools where Hope invited in the area social workers to participate. And so we have a great collaborative partnership with other districts. But I will say that over the last 5 or 6 years, or more, we've had a focus on increasing the number of staff that can support students on a regular basis, whether that be, as an example, when I came here 8 years ago, we had a halftime social worker at our elementary school. So they would split between two schools. And as they said this morning, we have a full-time social worker in every school. So the commitment to provide those resources has, over time, enabled us to do that for every school. So it's good.
Right. Very true. Thank you for that. And Hope Trujillo and Stacy Chang, I want to ask you a bit about it seems we still have a stigma when we talk about mental health. Hopefully it's going away. It may not be going away fast enough for a lot of folks, but is that still kind of what you find in the work that you do, that there's not, that maybe families don't like talking about it, or just takes a while to get them to understand maybe what's going on?
I think that there are a couple factors at play. Understanding what's going on, if you yourself don't have mental health problems, it's hard to figure out how to support a family member or to understand what they are going through. I think that the recognition and the stigma is lower, but I think the ability to still understand, if you are not a professional, the best way to support your student, your family member, your friend, whoever it is we're still lagging in that area. And then, maybe at some point we'll be able to stop blaming things on COVID. I think we probably will never get back to a true norm. And so the increase of even adults that we're seeing with anxiety has really overwhelmed our providers and the system as a whole in our country, not just in our community. So I think that the ability is there to recognize it, but there is a lag in being able to treat it.
Understood. Well, and sir, go ahead, Hope. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and that's why it's so vital for us to have our social workers and school counselors in the school, because that might be a family's introduction to mental health support. And so they play just such a key role of helping them understand, like, this is what, counseling can look like. This is how you can get help. These are ways that we can support you. And we have these resources out in the community, so there's sometimes that first step to help parents maybe feel better about asking for help. So.
Right, true. And certainly there were students who had mental health concerns before COVID, mm-hmm. and yes. you were there to help those students as well.
Absolutely.
So it hasn't just all happened since the pandemic, for
Correct.
Sure.
Correct.
And those resources are still there.
Yes.
To offer help, and that's important. So very good. Thank you both for being here once again. I really do appreciate your input in all of this. And it's really important, I guess, for maybe family members or guardians or parents to maybe also kind of keep tabs on how their kids are doing, not necessarily maybe school related, but even outside of school.
Yeah, it's, teenagers are hard. They don't like to talk. They don't like to open up. They kind of exist in their own little world. But we definitely can't do it by ourselves. And that's with everything in education, right? There are three people involved, the student, the parent, and the education system. So that support of the family and recognizing any changes that they might notice at home is very important to all collaborate together and make that difference.
Right. Right. And when we talk about resources and community resources, we hear about the resources at the schools, which seems pretty good, but do we have enough resources in the community for mental health and for folks who maybe are, you know, once they get out of the school system or reach out? I mean, probably there's always room for improvement, right? But what would you say, Hope?
Well, we do our best to stay aware of agencies that do have openings or shorter wait lists. But, you know, the reality is we would need more providers. You know, there are wait lists in the community, but we collaborate and we try to partner and see how we can work with maybe crisis appointments or, you know, giving them referrals so that they hopefully they maybe can get in sooner. So we do work with our community providers as best we can.
Great. That's good to know. So wonderful. Thank you very much. And again, thank you both for coming in. Mr. Deal, coming back to you a little bit about we're talking about registrations for the next school year. I thought we just finished a school year, but it's that time again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had that open for a while now. So hopefully, if you haven't registered, please do so. And yes, we are certainly planning for school year 23-24. And yeah.
Right. And so now is the time, I guess, right?
Now's
to get
time.
Students registered, as you mentioned. For students that are moving from one school to the other, there's been some ceremonies and what have yous, but it's always an exciting time to see folks. Any advice for folks over the summer break? Again, we don't want that summer slide, right? We want to try to prevent that.
Yeah, so whatever you, like I said, I talked about our summer programs and, you know, certainly keep reading, you know, and
right.
keep learning, always keep learning, whether that be while you're out fishing or enjoying the summer, but always keep learning. So we have opportunities to help and support that. And so it's going to be a good summer. We have a lot of work to do, but before we sign off, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come once a month to talk about all the great things that have happened in our school. And we had some amazing things happen in our district this year. And we've highlighted those throughout the year. So here on this show and in, you know, our social media team does a great job and our schools do a great job of highlighting what they do. So, It's an amazing, strong community that we live in, and the support that we get from our community is, I can't say enough how we appreciate it at Farmington Schools. You know, the partnerships that we have with our first responders and the police department and the city of Farmington, all of the providers that these ladies talked about today. We live in a great community that supports us. It's a strong community, and we thank you all for what you do for Farmington Schools.
Well, and the schools do a lot for the community, I think. So the feeling is probably mutual.
I hope so.
And so we thank you all for the work that you all do and your colleagues by extension, because I know it's some days challenging work dealing with the hundreds, the thousands of students that you all deal with each and every day during the school year. And Mr. Deal, I appreciate your commitment to coming in and talking with me every month. I really appreciate that as well.
Absolutely. And maybe we will certainly, the next time we talk, we'll have more information on the start of 23-24.
All right. Very good. I'll hold you to it.
Looking forward to it.
We'll see you then. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming in. Have a great summer. My guest from Farmington Schools this morning here on KSJE.
Thank you.
Duke the T-Rex as he roams the grounds at Visit Farmington's Free Joel Jamboree and Adventure Expo in Farmington, New Mexico on Saturday, June 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Off-roading, mountain biking, water sports, disc golf, art, and more make up this jolt-worthy event celebrating all the ways to play in Farmington. Don't miss out on family-friendly activities, food vendors, and presentations on the Bisti Badlands and Outdoor Recreation all at the Farmington Museum and Visitor Center. Visit FarmingtonNM.org for more details and mark your calendar to come play with us.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.